Welcome to Inside the Match, where Alex and Simone talk residency applications.
We are two residents here to help you navigate the match.
For each podcast, we'll bring you residents from various specialties and backgrounds to give advice. So today we are super excited to have Debbie, who is an international medical graduate who's going into internal medicine. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me as well. It's a huge honor to be invited to join this podcast because honestly, during my application season, this podcast really helped me a lot.
Well, we are so excited to have you and learn a lot about your journey to applying to residency. So where will you be in residency? And tell us a little bit about where you're from and how this journey was for you to get in.
Well, I will be in New York City and I'll be training for internal medicine.
Well, we'd like to start our podcast by asking some rapid fire questions to learn a little bit more about you and your journey to internal medicine and matching into a program in New York City. So what medical school did you go to?
I went to University of Santo Tomas Faculty of Medicine and Surgery in Manila, Philippines.
Did you dual apply to another specialty outside of internal medicine?
Yes, I did. I really wanted to pursue primary care medicine, so I applied to both internal medicine and family medicine.
How many internal medicine programs did you apply to?
Around 150.
And how many internal medicine programs did you interview at?
Just 6.
And being an internal medicine graduate can have difficulties on its own. So I'm curious, how did being an IMG affect your decision-making process during this entire application journey?
As an IMG, a lot of factors affected my decision during the application process, some of which were, you know, I considered the work visa being offered by the program. So it's either J1 or H1B, the number of IMGs in the residency program, the geographic location. And of course, I also considered my boyfriend, who's also applying for U.S. residency training with me then. So we had to have a consensus on which programs we will apply to.
So it sounds like there's a lot of information to think about when applying to programs. And I'm curious where you end up finding all of this information so that we understand what resources might be the best ones to look into.
So I looked at FRIDA and a Residency Explorer. So those two, I initially looked for the list of programs that were offering work visas, such as J1 and H1B. And then I sorted them out on based on the geographic location. And then I found out that Residency Explorer, which is a newer website compared to FRIDA, it has more details on filters wherein you can see the number of IMGs they accept in the program and how many, you know, non-IMG, I think non-US IMG applicants were accepted to their program as well. So I looked at those filters.
Those are such helpful tips in order to be able to figure out where we have the highest chance of matching.
Yes, and I agree.
Throughout this journey, there are multiple components of an application, but a very important part is a personal statement. And I'm wondering if you discussed your experiences as an IMG in your personal statement.
Yes, I did. You know what, it was really hard to write a personal statement because, you know, it's hard to start, you know, the hardest part is start writing because not all of us are gifted writers, right? But I asked some of my mentors, most are like fellows who also graduated from the same medical school who are already fellows in the U.S. So I asked them, well, what should I write about? How will I make it interesting? So they told me that I should give a glimpse of who I am aside from being a doctor. So since graduating medical school and earning my physician license in the Philippines, I have also worked as a general practitioner. So I also included that and my experience being a physician in the Philippines in a third world country. And aside from that, I also shared that I am a social media content creator and I use that angle to connect it to my goal of becoming a future primary care physician. So I mostly talked about what I did as a frontline physician and as a social media content creator during this pandemic. And I also made sure to state my long-term goals as a doctor in primary care.
And something in regards to long-term goals that people may ask an international medical graduate is why you're interested in coming to the United States, or do you plan on practicing in the United States as a practitioner? And I'm wondering if you got those questions and how you answered them.
Well, yes, I did. I got those questions. When I was stating my long-term goals, I made it really specific. My first goal was really to give back, to pay it forward to future Filipinos or IMGs who wanted to train in the US. And that is one of my goals. And it's also why I'm also doing this podcast, is to pay it forward. And also, I just want to, you know, state clearly what I want to be as a primary care physician that also connects to what I do outside medicine, outside being a doctor. And actually, the title of my personal statement then was Positive Influence. And I ended it with, you know, at the end of the day, all doctors are influencers. And I hope that all my goals, all my long-term goals will be attained when I get into your residency program and continue being a positive influence to others. So that's how I ended it.
Well, that is an incredible topic to discuss. And that is a wonderful way to describe what your mission is moving forward, is not only an influencer, but someone that is going to be giving back through the field of medicine. And, you know, this brings us to a component of the interview that can be really stressful for some people, which is the interview where you have to talk about a lot of the experiences that you've had. And I'm curious if you got any questions specifically related to being an international medical graduate and practicing as a formal practitioner in the Philippines.
Well, since I talked about, you know, when they start the interview, they would usually ask, tell us about yourself. And I would usually say that, yes, I am a practicing general practitioner in the Philippines. And the follow-up questions that they asked me were, you know, situational questions. Like, for example, since you are already a doctor in the Philippines and you are already seeing patients in the wards, they would give me situations that, what if you don't know what to do? What will you do next? They would usually, those are the questions that they usually connected to my answer. Situational questions like, what if the patient doesn't want to cooperate with you? What if you can't do the task that your consultant or the attending physician wanted you to do? Those are the common questions that I usually got connecting to being a general practitioner.
Well, those sound like some tough questions to get, especially when you have to think beyond the simple questions that you would normally think about of what an interview would entail.
That's right. Because, you know, I know that a lot of us have a list of the most commonly asked questions. And I'm sure if you have a small practice group, you guys have already practiced those questions a lot of times. And you can't help but get rattled if they ask you something out of that list, especially if they ask you personally about an experience. And that's why one tip that I can share is have keywords ready. Since you are doing the interviews virtually, you can have a list of keywords that you want to convey, and you can start talking about that, or you can make it as a talking point. So for example, if they ask me about what if your attending physician's asking you to do something that you're not really familiar with or you're unsure about, I would look at my keyword, which is being cautious or do no harm for something like that. So I would talk about that if I'm not sure of anything, I will ask my supervisor first before doing any move, so that I will avoid any compromise with patient care. So that's a tip that I can share.
That is a great tip, especially to be able to think about that when going through any sort of interview, because they're all so different. And throughout the interview process, you have to compile a lot of information about programs to determine what makes them different, to figure out where you want to go. And I'm curious what information you utilized when you came to ranking programs at the end of your interview journey.
So, right before my interview season, going to the ranking, I really read the whole website of each program that I had interviewed with, because there were only six for internal medicine. So I made sure that I read everything. And then aside from that, I also checked their social media accounts. I think that's one of the new factors that you know, applicants have to check because you can't go to the hospital anymore. You can't do the tour. You can't meet them personally. But then if you check their social media, you can have a glimpse of how they are as a program. Are they close? Are they like a family? Do they have like gatherings outside the hospital? That's where you can have a glimpse of like the sense of camaraderie that there is in that program. Aside from that, I also check their Instagram, their Twitter, and I also made sure that I, you know, considered some of the factors of ranking programs, especially the geographic location, because I really wanted to train in New York City because, you know, you'll be exposed to a lot of diverse cultures and cases, but I also consider the proximity to my partner's hometown, which is Toronto, Canada, and most of his family are in New York and New Jersey too. So I also took that in consideration when I was ranking the programs. And another factor was, of course, the curriculum and the board passing rate of the program itself. And last tip for me, another factor that affected the ranking was my experience when I virtually met everyone and the residents, because you can really tell if they like their program or their program's really malignant, because you can really see in their faces, you know. So those are just those are the factors that I considered, because honestly, you can really tell if the program's malignant just by seeing the residents and how they interact with each other.
And you mentioned that your significant other was a large part of determining where you wanted to be. And you also described that he was applying as well. So in what ways did he play a role in the places that you interviewed? And would you advise that if people have family that are applying to the same program, or if they have a significant other, to make that known to the program director or the coordinator?
Yes, because funny how the you know, the interview invites, you know, happened, because he got 10 interviews, I got 9 interview invites, and 8 out of 10 we had the same hospitals. So we didn't plan to do couples matching, because since we were both IMGs, it will only make it harder for us or make it difficult to match. So we just let fate handle it. And I usually went first for each interview, and I would give a small, you know, crumbs like, oh, my boyfriend's also interviewing with you guys next week. And they will tell me, oh, what's his number? What's his name? And they were really interested. And when he also interviewed, he never forgot to mention me, and they remembered. So I think it actually matters to them that the two of you are planning to, you know, also applied in the same program. I think that also affected why we both matched to the same program.
That is such an incredible tip to remember for those that are applying to a program or to a city that they want to live in with their significant other who's also in medicine. And during the end of this journey, after you interviewed at your 6 programs and you put your rank list together, did you send a letter of intent to your top program?
Yes, I did. I sent them a thank you note right after the interview with my intent, because I was already sure what program I really wanted to put on my number one. And then when the ranking opened, I sent them a letter of intent again, just only one program, because I saw that on one of the posts on Instagram by Inside the Match. So I took note of that. Also, another tip, I forgot to tell you about this during the interview. When they asked me, do you have any other questions? I would ask them, can you describe your program in one word? And they would usually, you know, they will be surprised because they were prepared for that question. And I use that word as a topic for my thank you note so that it will sound more personal.
That is such a great idea. And it really causes the program to think more than just a sentence that, you know, is a mission statement, but to think of how to describe who is in their program in just that one simple word. And I am just so curious to hear what people said along the journey when they had to come up with it.
Oh, it's because these are the questions that This was the question that I asked the program director when I get to have a moment with them during the interview. And most of them, I can remember 5. So one is diverse, second is family, third is competent, 4 and 5, they said family. That I can still remember because I made sure to write them down. So yeah, that's what they said. But that included a long pause before saying anything that made them rethink.
No, that is such a great question to ask. And you have described so many ways in which we can better prepare for this journey. Going through this whole match process is stressful, and being an international medical graduate going through it adds an additional stressor. So I'm curious if you have anything else that you'd like to offer about this entire application journey from an international medical graduate perspective.
You know, the NRMP statistics was released like a few weeks ago, and just looking at it, there's a decrease in the number of IMGs that got matched this season. And I think one of the factors there would be, you know, the pandemic and the idea of the IMGs needing work visas. But I think since things are getting better, what I want to advise future IMGs is that aside from scores, you really have to stand out in an aspect of being well-rounded. I think what the programs are also looking for is a doctor who's not only really, you know, good with academics or the theoretical knowledge, but also a doctor who has experience and who knows to, you know, get along with everyone, and someone who has other knowledge aside from like being a doctor. So make sure to boost your CV. Make sure you have no gaps. I know it's very hard, but make sure you have no gaps. Do a lot of volunteer work. And since social media is one of the like important factors that I think really helped me to get matched, you can also share who you are as a doctor, since you will not be meeting them in person. So you can put your profile in public, and you have the power to you know, show them who you are aside from being a doctor.
Well, you have shared with us so many great things about this entire process, but now one more cool thing about you. You've told us you are a social media influencer, and that is one of the neatest things. But Debbie, do you have another fun fact to share about yourself?
I'm an identical twin. So I have an identical twin sister. Yeah. Her name's Demi. She's also a doctor.
Whoa, what field?
Yes. She's currently training in Sydney. Yes.
Well, that's all the time we have today with Debbie. Thanks for joining us at Inside the Match. Special thanks to Kevin McLeod for the music, and be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast. Get our next podcast to learn more application tips and hear from another awesome resident or leader in medical education.